well. And so what I want us to talk about this morning is danger on the internet. You will see, yes, there's Creole there below. I don't speak Creole. I may talk in Spanish some because we all speak Spanish. They speak Spanish, I speak Spanish, so they may do that. But there will be the headings in Creole as well. And I think, you know, if you remember Lost in Space, you remember that as everything was happening, the robot was always there. Danger, danger. Will Robertson, danger, danger. Well, guess what? With the internet, we don't have anybody shouting, danger, danger. This is something we have to work with and to come to understand. And certainly, the internet can be used for good, to teach, to encourage. One of the great blessings is that brethren from Chile, from Argentina, from the south of Argentina, can, by means of the internet, ask me questions. I have this, there's something I don't understand. I have taught a few times, and to probably, 40 or 50 people of this group that is here in Colombia. So certainly there is advantage to that. But it also can be used for encouragement as well, and teaching. And this is Esmeralda, our sister in South Carolina, who I taught not on the internet but on the phone. And again, but it's kind of that same idea. On the internet, there are many good things, good sources of teaching. One of them that Dana's works with some is called OWL. And if you can read that little print, it's Older Women Likewise, a reference to Titus chapter 2. Older women likewise are to teach the younger women. And here is one of the videos. Obviously, we're not looking at going to watch the video, but you can see there are different women that are taking part in this. All these things can be very helpful. And I think one of the things that is a good use of the internet is to study or to research spiritual things. There are commentaries, reliable commentaries, that I would recommend if you want to know, that are on the internet, and they're free. If you were to buy them as books, one book, Acts, Romans, maybe some of the epistles, $30 or $40. You can get them free on the internet. That's a great benefit. I go there because that way I don't even... And I mean, you know, this is one of those that books are becoming obsolete. It's easy. I just have it right there. I just pull it up and go from there. So that certainly can be a big help. Another thing is other congregations' websites. They have sermons there. They have sometimes articles. Oftentimes they'll have their Bible classes there. Things that you can learn from. Things that you can see that, well, maybe, you know, this is what Paul said, but this is an interesting perspective. I hadn't heard that one before. So there are good things there. And I know y'all will be surprised that most of my illustrations come from the internet. The map come from the internet. And those things I think are helpful to teach as we teach. So all of these things. But unfortunately, it's interesting because they say that about 50% of searches on Google are for religious matters. But almost that same number is pornography. And so, is there good? Yes. Is there evil? Oh, yes. And that, I think, is what we sometimes don't think about. And there's the one that we think about. We'll come to that in a moment. But I think one of the things that is very much an issue with the internet is the alienation that comes from that. When was the last time you called somebody on the phone? And I mean, we do. But you know, I would much rather text someone. I text my mother. Now there's another reason there. Because as my mother says, you know, when she used to call her nearest and dearest relative who's passed on, they would holler at each other because they're both very deaf. But there is something different, isn't there? Is a text the same as talking to someone on the phone, email, and there are all these others as well? No, that's not the same. There is a difference. And because of that, we get alienated from one another. We don't have the day-to-day relationship, if you will. And apparently in some of the larger congregations, a lot of things are put on Facebook. And if you don't have a Facebook account, well, I'm sorry. Oh, you didn't know? Well, I put it on Facebook. Well, I'm not on Facebook. I don't have a text, etc. And I think we all understand. We're not going to belabor this point, but I think we understand that man was created by God to live in association with others. And you may remember that after everything is good, God says in chapter 2, verse 18, and he says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." It is not good that man should be alone. Proverbs 18, verse 1, has something to say on this subject as well. Proverbs 18, verse 1. It says, and this is the New King James, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." What's he saying? This is crazy. And yet, in our society today, there is more and more and more tendency that we don't need other people. And if you don't believe that, just think about it. And apparently, there are people, and not a few, in this country who never leave their house. Everything they do over the internet. It's either by Facebook, it's by text. And of course, now we can have everything delivered to the house, from groceries to you name it. And so there is that tendency to be separated. And it's interesting then in Acts chapter 2, and I said we're not going to belabor this point because, again, I think this is something we are aware of. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them," or to the church, as your version says. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." In verse 44, "All who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What was one of the responses? What was one of the effects of their being baptized and being saved? They spent time together. And I think as we read, particularly through the earlier chapters of Acts, that's what we see. They were together. They were together. They were together. Why? Well, because they all shared Christ, the salvation, the love of God. They all had this desire to learn. They all had this desire to be with others who would encourage them, that they could encourage. Now, that's not true today, is it? We don't need that. We don't share that same salvation, do we? Of course we do. Do we share that desire to be with one another? We should. And the internet is not helping us to do that. In fact, that is one of the tools that the devil uses for that. And this is to a ridiculous extreme, but it is true. South Korean police have, and this is have, this is in the past, obviously, arrested a couple for starving their three-month-old daughter to death while they devoted hours to playing a computer game that involved raising a virtual daughter. Now just think about that for a minute. And there's, if you want to read the article, it's there. Just pull that, ask for that, and it'll pull it up for you. But it's, what they did is, it says this 41-year-old man, 25-year-old woman met through a chat website, reportedly left their infant unattended while they went to internet cafes. And they were there all day, late into the night. They only occasionally dropped by to feed her powdered milk. Now, this is addiction to the internet. This is extreme. But is addiction to the internet a danger? Oh, yes. And I think what, again, that produces is isolation. Because what do we have? Well, there's Facebook. And if you don't want to, you don't have any friends you want to keep up with, well, then there's YouTube. And you can stay entertained by YouTube all day long. There are people that do. I know some. You may know some. Twitter, that's now X, and again, just another way to communicate. Instagram, because here you can really put up pictures. And some of these I know very little about, but I know they're there. And all of these are available to entertain yourself, to talk to others, etc. And there are so many things to consume us there. People, and this couple that starved their daughter to death, online games. And they're not the only ones. It's a way to keep up with our friends and to know, what did my friend have for breakfast this morning? And you know, if you're on Facebook, you've seen some of these and you're just like, oh, spare me the details. But there are people that live for this on the internet, and this is streaming. There are TV shows, TV series. And if you loved true crime or one of those, I mean, you can talk about binging. You can spend days on that. And that certainly does not make you feel better. That just makes it more, everything is worse. Doing research. And brethren, I've already said research is a good thing, can be a good thing. But what I find sometimes, and you may have too, is when you go to research something and you see this and, you know, it pulls up what you want, but then there's this other little link to something that's kind of related. You think, oh, well, let me go check that out. And you go from there to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. And before you know it, you spent way too much time on stuff that really doesn't matter. And I think then there are those things that we think of as addictions. Gambling. And if you don't know, there's way more gambling done via the internet probably than there is in person. From horse races to sports, you name it, it's out there. And then the one that I think we as Christians normally think about and associate is pornography. And certainly, as someone has said, has the internet increased lust, pornography, gambling, and so on? Well, probably. Did it introduce it? Did it come from there? No. But one of the things that it makes it much stronger is it's in the anonymous. You don't have to be seen going anywhere. And I want us to turn to Galatians again, now to chapter 5, verse 19. Just continue our reading here. After reminding us that we are not under the law, we are led by the Spirit, it says, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, obvious, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. If there's something I didn't mention specifically, if it's in that same category, that's covered too. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we read this list from time to time. There's nothing there that we've not noticed, read before as we went through there. But I think the internet, because of the anonymity, has a great potential to sin. There in verse 19, every kind of sexual perversion that you could want is there. And that's all I'm going to say. You remember in Ephesians, Paul said that the Gentiles engage in things that we should not even mention. We should not even mention those things. All of those are on the internet. From as tame as people look at it to as bad as it gets, they're there. That in itself is a huge danger for many people. But I think another thing that we don't always think about is jealousy and envy. And particularly perhaps, I think perhaps younger people are particularly susceptible to this, young ladies, because that is an awkward time anyway. That is a time period that there's just too much going on, and most of us, most young women, most young men for that matter, don't measure up. They're not ravishingly beautiful. They're not geniuses, if that's something to be envied. They're not this, they're not that, because, you know, we're not all perfect. Not many of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And yet there are those, and as you look at someone, you think, oh, I wish I had their looks. Oh, I wish I would had all the friends that they have. Oh, I wish this, I wish that. Or here's someone who has something that I want. Well, out of jealousy, I'm going to begin to spread rumors about them, to tear them down. They have so many friends. And we all have known this is not something new. You know, there are those people that have always, through the ages, felt like it was their job to separate friends. Doesn't the Bible say something about that? Proverbs says, on a couple of different occasions, the evil of separating sin of friends, and it can be done easily. Kind of the opposite of that, and this is part, this can be part of it, is bullying, but that's the opposite, that leads to the opposite, because there are those people who are not jealous because they have it all. They're jealous of those who don't have it because they don't have anything, and they're very susceptible to bullying. And again, the internet's a great place for this, because getting another page with another name, simple. Now, I had, at one time I had two, but one for Spanish and one for English, not for malicious purposes. And suicide, that is one of the things that contributes to it, is because everybody gangs up on somebody and they're have poor self-esteem anyway, and that just leads to I might as well not kill myself because I can't do any more. And this contention, hatred, I think like that's mentioned there as well. Heresy. And if you have looked on the internet, particularly on YouTube, I have found a few programs that are worth watching, but there's just a whole lot of nonsense. It doesn't cost anything. And so if you want to know about the Nephilim, if you want to know about the giants, well, they're anywhere from fallen angels to Sasquatch, and I don't know who else and what else. And they know all about it. They know all the details. If you want to hear, and if you want to hear Pastor so-and-so who has revelation under his belt, he's there. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. There's always been heresy. There have always been books. There have always been preachers. There have been so on and so forth. But it's just way too simple now. And it's everywhere. If you want to know what some preacher in the Philippines is teaching, it's there. There is a real danger here. And I don't think this one is mentioned here in Galatians 5, but I think it's definitely in and such like. Gossip. Again, the National Enquirer had to go out of business. Why? Because of the internet. Because it's there. And it's, you know, again, it's being spread by whoever and whatever, and I mean, it's there. But the danger, I think, for us probably is, hopefully, is not spreading, but hearing it and then spreading it, passing it around, because it happens, you know, and more than half of what is there as news is not news. And as I've already said, I think every sin that we read about in these three verses is on the internet somewhere. and it is facilitating it. And so the potential to sin is great. And that is something we need to guard ourselves from. But one that's a little more insidious, not as obvious, is wasting time. And I will just tell you, the time that I spent on my phone yesterday, you know, my phone has, like probably yours, has a little meter that this is how much time I spent on my phone yesterday. 2 hours and 38 minutes. And that was probably down a little bit because while we were at Betty Jo's birthday party in Claudette's, I didn't look at my phone at all. So, you know, it probably would have been more. And I will say that there were a number of those that were communicating things to people that I needed to communicate to. But brethren, how much time do we spend? Do you spend? And I think that's what we have to remember. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 45, beginning. Jesus here is particularly speaking to the apostles. Luke tells us that Peter asked him, Lord, what was all this about? And verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Now here's a master who goes away, who puts the servant that he has complete trust in to take care of things. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes again, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. And you can understand why. If he can be trusted when the master's not there, he can be trusted always. But he says, but if that evil servant, and he wasn't evil in the beginning, his master wouldn't put him in charge. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, he'll be back whenever, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do I need to understand the application? Need to explain the application for us? No, it's pretty clear. When our master comes, what will he find us doing? What will he find us occupied in? And he says, and there are going to be two possible outcomes. If we're engaged in his business, then we will enjoy heaven with him. If we're engaged in other things, we're going to be in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think that's something that we have to gauge, not just these things, but everything in our life we have to gauge based on